Our reading this morning, which will be the basis for our homily, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When you were a child and you went to church with your parents, they maybe had specific church rules that you were to follow. One of my cousins had a special little rubber car with rubber wheels that was the toy for Sunday morning because it wouldn't make noise in church. I can't tell you how often I heard my dad or mom say to me, "No running in the sanctuary." You maybe had special rules that you were taught that made the sanctuary of God a special place for you. And it was a unique building, a unique location compared to anything else in your life. And it's not hard to imagine that in Old Testament times and in the time of our Lord, that parents, as they came to Jerusalem, and many of them possibly only once a year, and they brought their children to the temple, you can imagine them teaching them rules about this worship place and this very special place of reverence, and explaining to them all of the different features out in the courtyard, and then as you enter the actual temple itself and go into the holy place, and then imagine them describing what it was like in that holy of holies place, the most holy place, behind the curtain and the wall that separated all of those special things from them. And as they watched the hundreds of priests walking around, many of them with blood dripping off the bottom of their garments and the very special outfits that they were wearing, you can just imagine what it was like for a little Old Testament child to witness the great reverence and awe of being in the temple. I'd like to read a little bit from a Jewish professor from Oxford who converted to Christianity, and he writes this about some of the ancient things that they have discovered about the temple. He said that there were, on the wall separating the most holy place, there were double doors with gold plating. It took 200 priests to put it in place. It was probably like an enormous partition. It was as thick as a man's hand, and it was covered by a rich Babylonian curtain made of four beautiful colors. And above all of this, he says, there hung a gigantic vine sculpture made out of pure gold that was way up above everything on this huge curtain and this huge doorway. And he said that on that sculpture, each cluster of grapes was the height of a man. Now think of that. This enormous gold sculpture hanging over the top of this curtain. And just think, as a child going into this place, the awe and the wonder. You know, it's interesting. You never hear Jesus criticize the temple life of the Jewish people. In fact, he criticizes those who abuse it by trying to sell things and make money off of people. But you never hear him criticize the temple worship life. You never hear him criticize the liturgical life of the Jewish people. You never hear him criticize their worship formulas and the worship services that they had, and the reverence and the awe that they put into their worship life. You never hear him criticize that. You never hear him criticize the reading of the scriptures and the singing of the psalms that were used. You never hear him criticize the work of the priests and so on. The only time he'll criticize spiritual things among the Jews is when they are misteaching things out of the word of God to the people, as many of the Pharisees were doing. But the reason that Christ was so protective of all of this and treated it as so reverent and beautiful and wonderful is because it was all there, commanded by God, to depict him and his work. It really was all about Christ. The whole temple worship was about justification. How do we get right with God? It was a picture of that, and it was a picture of his very body through which we would be made right with God by his great sacrifice. And so on that Good Friday night, when our Lord is hanging on the cross and finally breathes his last, it's very fitting that God would have this huge door and temple curtain split in two to suddenly open and make access into the Holy of Holies. Outside of the Bible, there's actually a Jewish writing called the Mishnah. Now, this would be a non-Christian writing that actually writes back and describes this event about the time that Jesus died on the cross. Listen to what they wrote. This was written 40 years later, and it talks about how this happened back in about 30 AD. Even though the temple doors were closed in the night, they were found open in the morning. One rabbi said, "Temple, why do you frighten us?" So even they acknowledge that there was this time when the great doors and this great curtain was split. What tremendous symbolism about the work of Christ and what he had now come to accomplish. Now, because of this, St. Paul writes to Christians in Rome and to us today, and he basically tells us there are three wonderful things that you and I need to know and to build our life around because of this. First of all, he says, we have peace with God. Because our high priest has sacrificed himself and opened up this door to God in his holiness, we have peace with God. That curtain or wall had stood as a barrier, like a monument to our sin. We're the ones that separated ourselves from God, not he to us. We're the ones that separated ourselves from God. We're the ones, because of our wickedness and the sin inside of us and our selfishness and everything else, that has made a wall between us and God. And now through the work of his servant, through the Lamb of God who comes to be sacrificed, that wall is split. The barrier is down. And Paul says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's nothing else that you take out of chapel today, make sure that you take this back with you. And that is that a holy God loves you and has made peace with you. He ripped the wall down between the two of you through the work of his son. So that's the first thing. We have peace with God. It's already done. Secondly, we have now gained access to the Father. Now think what that really means. We have gained access to the Almighty God himself. We now can come before him. We can bring our petitions and our prayers and the things that we want in life and the things that we hope for and our dreams. We can come and ask him, leaving it all as according to his will. But Jesus now invites you. He says, now that he has torn the curtain open between you and God and made peace, he says, come, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. He doesn't command you to pray in the name of saints or to pray in the name of his mother, because they had nothing to do with ripping the wall down. He did. That's why our prayers go through him. That's why he says, come to the Father through me, and he will give you what you ask. And so the author of Hebrews says to us, let us now approach the throne of grace with confidence. We don't have to be afraid to bring our prayers to God. We don't have to tremble and be terrified of his presence. Because of what Christ has done, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. And finally this, Paul says, because this has happened, we can now rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. To those who have been blessed to see and to know and to understand the significance of what the Lamb has done, tearing open this curtain and making peace between sinful people like us and this holy God, we now have the right to go about our lives looking forward with joy. You have the right to look at your grave and laugh at it because of what Christ has done. You have the hope that you're going to rise again someday from the dead. And this has all been accomplished by the work of the Lamb, your great high priest. Thanks be to God for him. Amen.